Well, the stock market is surging, with the Dow above 25,000, a number that was almost unthinkable not that long ago. Let's take a closer look at some of the winners and losers in this hot market. Diane Swank is chief economist at Grant Thornton. And Diane, we're seeing some eye-popping numbers here, but what companies are really leading the surge?
Well, what we saw is a whole rotation. We saw a big surge in financial firms for a while. Then we saw it move into technology. And now it's sort of going back into firms that were the dogs of last year. And so you're seeing firms come back like General Electric, that I use that as an example because it's one firm that was really hit hard. And all of a sudden that and IBM started doing really well because people thought, well, listen, nobody's been buying them, so we might as well buy those. What I think what's really key about the market is there's sort of a sense of euphoria that's reminiscent of the late 1990s. I've come to start saying, you know, we're partying like it's 1999, Prince, but we're in a 21st century economy. And as you remember, in 1999, that didn't end well. There's times when the market is not the U.S. economy and it's not leading the U.S. economy. In fact, gets ahead of the U.S. economy. And my concern is that's where we are today. I don't prefer a correction. I would prefer the market to move sideways and allow the economy to catch up. I fear that may take a while, but that would be my preference.
So are you concerned about things being overheated right now? And if that's the case, what broader effect could it have on the economy as a whole? Because, of course, many people are celebrating the Dow at above 25,000 and saying, hey, this is great news for every American.
Well, it's not great news for every American. Only a little over 50% of Americans hold any kind of stock. That's way down from the peaks that we saw prior to the crisis that were almost two-thirds of Americans. It's not all of Americans.
Well, and to that point, I mean, we were also looking at some numbers that said that the top 20% of Americans own more than 90% of all stocks.
There you go. It's very concentrated. But, you know, I think it's great. The stock market's great. It's great the U.S. economy is still expanding. Those are what we need, longevity. What you fear is overheating and get ahead of yourself. Today, there's a report out that we actually are seeing fewer people hedge their bets on the stock market, which means a kind of confidence. It's like driving without a seatbelt. They're so confident the market will keep going up, they're flying without a safety net. And I think this is also very concerning, is those investors investing in the stock market getting ahead of the underlying fundamentals. You know, things like waiters and my hairdresser telling me to buy Bitcoin or telling me to buy Apple. It really is sort of stunning. And again, overly euphoric, almost irrational exuberance, which Shiller actually quoted that phrase to Greenspan and uttered it before it became famous. And it's important to remember, because that was back in 1996 that phrase was first heard. And we saw the markets go up well above that for many years afterwards. You can't time market volatility. It's a very difficult time to pick winners and losers. We know the oil industry has won dramatically from deregulation. It's won from lifting on drilling restraints. It's won on the tax cuts as well. So that's an industry that everyone's excited about. That said, once oil production ramps back up in the U.S. and cuts aren't as great in places like Saudi Arabia, which still acts like a spigot on prices, all of a sudden you have prices lower and the industry is doing worse 6 months down the road. So it's a very dynamic environment. And I think that's something that people have not taken into account.
Yeah. You know, I hear your note of caution, though, in the midst of this dynamic environment. But I wonder if there is still some other good news here. I'm still taken by your example of GE, which really took a huge beating last year. And if investors are turning back to GE and doing some value harvesting, I guess, there, I mean, isn't that kind of good news that they're still seeing that there's here's a company that's worth investing in? It's such a big one for the country.
There's always good news that there's hope in the future. And, you know, this exuberance we're seeing, it is a positive thing. You just don't want to get ahead of it. And that's, you know, we haven't really lost our herd mentality. We've seen it many times. That the good news is that the market gains we're seeing are not highly levered like they were, say, in 1929. So
right.
When we worry about the Shiller Index and Bob Shiller and his valuations, one of the things he cautions is, well, if it crashes, it will be more like a bust from the tech bubble or a burst like in 1987. There wasn't as much leverage in both of those times, so it didn't take the whole economy down, or it did into a minor recession, not a major recession.
So the contagion would be contained.
Exactly. It'd be more paper losses,
right.
And those people who got the most from it would also maybe not be spending as much on, you know, yachts and things like that. So we won't worry about that all that much. But I do think in a broader sense that we do have to sort of be cautious. And it just worries me that people are so euphoric and there's a disconnect between the momentum momentum in the stock market and the momentum in the economy. Now, to some extent, earnings will show up because we just gave a big tax cut. But that's a one-time effect. What we're doing is we're sort of getting a sugar high today at the expense of growth later in the cycle because we're taking on a lot of debt to do it. And historically, debt-driven growth has ended poorly. And even though the stock market isn't leveraged, we are leveraged as a nation. So as good as these tax cuts look today, there's a trade-off over just a 3 to 4 year horizon where debt gets much higher and the cost of that debt and the cost of higher interest rates, particularly for lower income and middle income households, becomes more burdensome.
Well, Diane Swonk is chief economist at Grant Thornton. Your wisdom is so very valued here at Here and Now. Thank you so much, Diane.
Thank you.